Welcome to a powerful message from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Bronx North Branch. Lighthouse Chapel International branches worldwide provide every member the training, support, and encouragement to fulfill the Great Commission and to go to heaven and hear Jesus say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Join us for a life-changing experience as you listen to this message.
Our beloved Father, please come down and lead us. We are waiting on your touch.
We thank you, Lord, for the grace to be here. Lord, it is indeed a privilege to serve you. Father, there is none greater than you. We have no greater Father than we have. Therefore, O God, as your children have gathered in your house, Lord, we ask that you do not withhold the Spirit from us. We pray, O Lord, that you give us of your Spirit. Let your Spirit minister to us. Lord, may the words that proceed out of my mouth not be by the letter, O God, but may it be by the Spirit. May it be the engrafted word of God. May it be not of man's wisdom, O God. I pray, Lord, that you give us a heart that is prepared to receive your word and to change. We thank you, Lord. Let us know you more. Give us that grace to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Wonderful. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wonderful. Well, and why don't you clap for these people? Is it an anointed choir or what? Wasn't that a powerful ministration? See, the anointing is increasing upon God's people. Hallelujah. Well, last week, how many of you were here last week? Let me see by show of hands. Very few people were not. Well, the few people who were not here. Try not to miss church for anything. You see, unless it is something that is beyond your control, like work that is beyond your control. Now, work, I'm not talking about the one that is within your control. Sometimes the work is within your control, like overtime. It's within your control. You see, you make it look like it's not within your control because you feel you need that extra money to settle some debt. But it is within your control. And so things that are not over you, things that are within your control, try and overcome those things and make it to church. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. So last week, by the grace of God, we began sharing with you about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. And we were sharing that in our service to God, as we serve God, there is a very important entity of God that we need to know. A very important aspect of God that we need to know and to have and to know how to relate with this entity. Hallelujah. How to relate with this entity. And that is the Spirit of God. We need to know more and more about the Spirit of God. Because we cannot serve God, we cannot walk with God, if we do not have of His Spirit. Hallelujah. We cannot walk with God if we do not have His Spirit. We cannot understand God if we do not have His Spirit. Amen. You will get very frustrated in your walk with God. Hallelujah. Is that Sheila? I miss you. It's good to see you. And I see your husband. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. We cannot continue on walking with God. You realize that you get tired. At some point, you get tired. At some point, it becomes boring. At some point, you feel there's no answer. Now, not that there is no answer, not that there is no reward, but it's because you don't have that aspect that understands the rewards of God. You do not have that aspect of God that opens your eyes to know or to see the things of God. Hallelujah. So we read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let us recap quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. It says, this is what the scripture says. Yes. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. Hallelujah. It says, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither had entered into the things of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. You see, these are things that God has prepared already. God has prepared them already. So you wonder, you say, if God has prepared them, where are they? If God has prepared a husband for me, where is he? If God has prepared a wife for me, where is she? If God has prepared a bank account that is overflowing for me, where is it? Hallelujah. But as long as you love God, as long as you have purpose, you see, and I believe it is your love for God that makes you want to be even here today. If you did not love God, you will not set this day aside to come to his house. If you did not love God, his words will not mean anything to you. Amen. So he says, anyone that loves him, he has prepared something for him. Now, that thing is so powerful. That thing is so big. It is so big that your eyes cannot even see. It is beyond how the eyes can see. It is beyond what you can hear. It is beyond what you can even conceive in your heart. You know, sometimes we fantasize. We fantasize about wild things. It says it's beyond your fantasy. Hallelujah. And the next scripture, it says, but God had, you see, revealed them. He says that your eyes cannot see, your ear cannot hear, even your heart cannot conceive them. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. This is the way God reveals those things to us. This is how God shows us the things that he has prepared for us. This is how God keeps the things that he has prepared for the people who love him. This is how he reveals them to us. He says, but God has revealed them, those things, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. If God is going to give you something, he's going to search everything concerning you. He's going to evaluate everything. Not just today, not just what you are going to have today, but how that thing is going to affect you in the future. God will assess how that thing is going to affect generations that will come after you, your children and your children's children. He says he searcheth all things. Hallelujah. He searcheth all things. I don't think so many of us, even when we are looking for something, when we are looking for a job, for instance, we search all things, that we find out about everything concerning the job that we are taking. That we even consider our children and our children's children to come. You will think, what has that to do with the job that you are going to take today? But God, he searcheth all things. He searcheth all things. And sometimes he sees the effect of that job on your generation that is going to come several years after you, and he will withhold that job from you. And then you say, I have served God all these years, and even a job I cannot find. Hallelujah. It's because you do not have the Spirit of God in you. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. Hallelujah. You think that opening a car door for you to sit in, and then when you get to your stop, he will run and come and open it for you to get out. That he takes you to nice restaurants. That he buys you gifts on your birthday and on Mother's Day. and he buys you gifts on Valentine's Day means that he will make a good husband. But that is what your eyes can see. That is what your ear can hear. That is what you can conceive in your heart. But God, what he has prepared for you, what your eyes can see and what you can hear and what you have conceived in your heart, it's not it. That is not it. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man by the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. That is the only way. That is the only way we will know the things that are freely given to us. And I tell you, as a Christian, there are certain things that are freely given to you. I said there are certain things that are freely given to you. God has freely given you your peace, that you have peace in your household. God has freely given to you bread on your table. God has freely given to you water on your table. You will not lack if you are a Christian and you love God. He says there are certain things that God has freely given to you. Hallelujah. God has freely given to you free insurance, medical insurance. No doctor will get your check. I say no doctor will get a personal check from you, because concerning your health, God will take care of you. And that's a free insurance. He said those things that he has freely given us. If you love God, if you love God, you will be sick. Though you are sick, he will heal you. The Bible calls him the great physician. Amen. And he does not take insurance. It's free. But you will not know these things. You will not know these things except that you have a spirit in you. Except the spirit of God is in you. You will not know these things. Next verse. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. And so sometimes some of the things, they do not make sense to you, because it's not that which man's wisdom teacheth. It's not that which man's wisdom teacheth. If it is man's wisdom, it is not of God. If it is man's wisdom, it is not of God. If it is not in the scriptures, it is not of God. Amen. Because the scriptures were given under the inspiration. It is from the Spirit of God. So if someone were to say, for instance, you know, bring milk and sugar and this and that, and let me fast and pray for 10 days for this issue and let it go, you search in the Spirit. You search in His Word and see where that is. Hallelujah. Amen. Then He says, by the natural man. Say the natural man. Say, I am not a natural man. Say, I refuse to be a natural man. Say, I have eyes and I have ears and I have a heart that can conceive things, but I am not a natural man. Hallelujah. Say, I am someone who loves God. Say, I have the Spirit of God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. I have the Spirit of God in me. Amen. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit of God in you to discern those things. Hallelujah. Is that David? David. You have to have the Spirit of God in you to discern these things. There must be the Spirit of God in you. If God has prepared something for you, in order for you to appreciate it and even go get it and even take it, you must have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. It says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. Hallelujah. Amen. It says, they are foolishness unto a natural man. They are foolishness unto natural wisdom. If you are reasoning through it, it will not make any sense. If you are analyzing it and you are adding one and two and see it doesn't add up to three, it does not make any sense. Amen. So he says, give and it shall be given unto you. What sense does it make? That as I am giving, it shall be given unto me. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It does not make any sense. Amen. But it takes a spiritual discernment for it to make sense to you. I say it takes a spiritual discernment for it to make sense to you. Hallelujah. He says they are foolishness. If you are walking with God, if you are going to walk with God, you're going to need his spirit. You're going to need the spirit of God in you in order to continue to walk with God. Otherwise, the walk will not make any sense to you. Amen. Amen. Otherwise, it will be foolishness unto you. Otherwise, it will not make any sense to you. And we are searching for the things of God in the flesh. We are looking for the blessings of God in the flesh. We are looking to see whether we can see them, or whether we can hear them, or whether we can feel it, or whether we can conceive it in our hearts. And so when we are not able, we say that we don't have it. But he says, yes, I have prepared things for you, but you can't see them with your natural eyes. And you cannot touch them. You cannot hear them. You cannot conceive them even in your heart. Your imagination cannot even understand the things that God has prepared for you. You know why? Because he says in Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Do you see? He says, my thoughts are, the thing that you are thinking, that is not how I am thinking. So the God that you are serving, the God that you are looking for blessings from, the God that you are looking for answers, and you are waiting and you are praying and you are looking for answers, the things that he's thinking are not the same things that you are thinking. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So yes, your way is that, take this job. And then 5 years, it will take you here. And after 3 years, after you have been on this job for a while, you will receive promotion. That is how this guy went through, and that is how you are going to pass through. And your ways, as you get there, you realize that you cannot make that right turn. You cannot make that right turn, but when the Spirit of God is in you, when you have his spirit, you realize that that right turn is not possible. And you know why? Because the Spirit wants you to make a left turn. He says, my ways are not your ways. Your paths are not my paths. Hallelujah. He's a God that directs paths. Sometimes he will not even just speak to you, but he will just direct your path. He will just direct your path. Hallelujah. But if you have a flow free, a flow running spirit, if your spirit is such flow and it's just free and is flowing, you realize that the Spirit easily leads you. You realize that the Spirit is easily leading you. You see, all the things that God had created, you realize that they just flow. They just flow. All the things that God has created. If you see a river, you will not find a river that is ever straight. The way God will define the path of a river is that there will be an obstacle here. And the river will not by all means remove the obstacle before you continue. It just negotiates around it. And you see that the river will by all means flow. Hallelujah. It is only man that had straight things. Everything is straight. Look at the trees that you see outside. Take leaves. You will never see any leaf that is straight. Everything about God, if you just allow the Spirit to lead you, you see that it will guide you through. It will guide you through. Hallelujah. It will guide. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Your thoughts are not my thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are your thoughts from his thoughts and your ways from his ways. And so if that is how wide God's thoughts are from yours and how wide God's ways are from yours, why would you put your ways and expect that the ways of God will flow in that way? And so when we do that, we get frustrated and we don't have answers. But as a Christian that loves God, the Spirit of God is in you. I said, the Spirit of God is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You will understand the ways of God because the Spirit of God is in you. Hallelujah. We also read a scripture in 1 John chapter 2. Quickly, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. It says, little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not of us all. But ye have an unction. Say, I have an unction. Say, I have an unction. And say that with confidence and in faith. And say, I have an unction. He says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. If you have the Spirit of God in you, he expects that you know all things. Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, there are certain times that you see something and you say, it doesn't fall right with my spirit. You see, sometimes there are certain times that they ask you something and something just comes in your head to say it, and then you say, no, that cannot be the right answer. Because you see, it comes so easily to you like that. And you say, that cannot be the right answer. But you realize that that was the right answer. A lot of times I experience that. A lot of times I experience that. Sometimes you encounter some situation, and then you say, it doesn't feel right with my spirit. There's something about it. It doesn't feel right. It is the Spirit of God that is in you, that is speaking to you. And if you follow that, you realize that that will be the right thing to do. And he will be the first one that will always speak if you acknowledge him. He will be the first one. So a lot of times, the first feel, the first instinct, the first voice that you hear, it is the Spirit of God. But you see, the natural man comes in and he starts analyzing. And you say, it cannot be that easy. It cannot be how. It cannot be. Many people even have done it this way. So it cannot be just that easy. And so you realize then it makes you deviate from the voice of God. Amen. He says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Hallelujah. There is no lie that is of the truth. Once you have the Spirit of God, you see, the truth becomes the truth to you, and it's apparent. There is no lie that is of the truth. And it's only when the Spirit of God is in you. He says that you have the unction. You have the unction. You have the unction from the Holy One. You have the Spirit of God in you. Amen. And if you go down to verse 27, he says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. That anointing, the unction, is the anointing. The unction is the other name for it is chrisma. It's the specially prepared oil. That specially prepared oil, that is for you. The anointing of God is not only for preparing a message to preach. The anointing of God is not only to pastor a church. The anointing of God is in you. And it's for your day-to-day living. Oil has different uses. Sometimes we use oil to cook. So we use oil to cook the word to preach. Hallelujah. We use the oil to prepare the food for the people. Amen. Sometimes you need the oil when it comes to the marriage. You have a marriage that is like mechanical. It's not moving. It's not moving. It's not moving. You turn it this way and it's not going. You twist it this way, it's not going. But when the Spirit of God is in you, when the Spirit of God is in you, Abigail, the Bible says that he married a foolish man and he was living with a foolish man. And it was because of the Spirit of God that was in her. Hallelujah. Amen. It is like when you have a squeaky, you know, sometimes there's some nuts that is too tight. You know, you can't turn it. There is no force that can really turn it. But when you apply the oil, you just apply the oil. You spray the oil like this, and then you come. It's as if something has just, it comes, and then it turns it like this. It just turns like this without any force. That is the power of God. I said, that is the power of God. It loosens tight situations. Amen. Nuts that cannot be unscrewed, it will loosen it. You say, and you say, the Bible says, you have that unction. You have that oil. You have that charisma in your life to lead you and to guide you. Hallelujah. You have that unction. And he says, it abides in you. He says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Hallelujah. That anointing, when the Spirit of God is in you, he says that you need not that any man will teach you. You encounter this woman, and you know you don't need anyone to tell you that this is the one for you. You need not that any man will teach you. You need not. Because he says that when that Spirit is in you, you know all things. You know all things. Hallelujah. I say you know all things. It's that Spirit that makes you a different wife from another person. It is that Spirit that makes you a different husband from another person. It is that Spirit that makes you a different employer from the other one. So sometimes you interview people. You are an employer and you are interviewing people. There are certain people, once you encounter them, you look at their resume. There is no qualification, but you say that this is the one that I'm choosing. It's the Spirit of God that leads you. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. It's the Spirit of God. It is that which guides you. Amen. Yield to the Spirit. Yield to the Spirit. It is that Spirit. It is that Spirit that separates you. You see, sometimes some of you encounter some of your family members, and when you start talking to them, even the grown-ups that are amongst you, when you start talking to them, they wonder where you got such wisdom from. They wonder where how that my young granddaughter can counsel me like this. How that my young son can counsel me like... Sometimes they wonder. They wonder. And it's because of the Spirit of God that is in you. You see, let me show you a scripture in Job. Look at the scripture in Job. Job chapter 32. It is the anointing. Job chapter 32. And verse 1. Job 32. You see, when Job had gone through all the calamities and the attacks and has lost everything, you know, a group of his friends came to visit him. You know, and almost the whole of Job is about these friends and their contribution, Job's lamentation and so on and so forth, and their responses. And so on. So there was a point, if you read the previous chapter, Job was going on. Job felt, you see, I read one of them in verse, Job chapter 31, verse 1. You see, sometimes when we ask, you say, who is here who thinks he's righteous and you have not committed fornication before? And then, you know, a lot of people lift their hands. But when we read the scripture, and Jesus said that if you have looked at a woman with a lustful eye, even you have committed fornication. I read and I said, Job was one wild man. You see, verse 1, Job 31, verse 1, he says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You know, when you read that from the New Living Translation, it is amazing. He says, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. You see, so Job was not a small man. He was in his... I mean, in his caliber, he felt he was very righteous. That this, even this simple fornication that is amongst all men, including pastors, not with him. Hallelujah. Not with him. Amen. Sometimes you are in a meeting and then, you know, especially a bishop, you know, only bishop can ask questions like that. But and then he asks, who amongst these pastors, who amongst you has not committed fornication? And you see that all hands are down. But see, if Job was in the meeting like that, he would lift up his hands. Because truthfully, he says his eyes even have not committed such sin. But verse 30, chapter 32 and verse 1, you see, his friends, they have listened to him, and Job has lambasted. I mean, he felt that God has really wronged him. Says so many, he felt that he was righteous and God did this. God did not even look that he was this and he was that, that he has not committed this sin. He has been faithful to his servants. He has not caused any of his servants to be hungry. He has not, everyone that begs or comes to him, he makes sure he gives. So he was saying all sorts of things. And then his friends who were there, they listen and they analyze and they understood him. And they could reason with Job. And so it gets to a point that these three friends, they couldn't say anything else to Job. They couldn't say anything. They could understand that, in fact, the thing that this man is going through is not fair. And then there's one particular guy. His name is Elihu. Verse 1, he said, so these three men ceased to answer Job, because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu. That means his anger came. He says, then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, of the kindred of Ram. Against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Also against his three friends was his wrath kindled, because they had found no answer and yet had condemned Job. Now Elihu, listen very carefully. This is where I want. He says, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. You see, among the friends who had gathered, he was the youngest. He was a very young guy. And so all the while they were talking, if you read the succeeding chapters, Job will finish and this one will respond. He will talk and this one will respond. But when it came to this point, they realized that, in fact, Job, at this point, we can't say anything else to you. But he said that, he says, now Elihu had waited till Job had spoken, because they were elder than he. When Elihu saw that there was no answer in the mouth of these three men, then his wrath was even kindled. When he realized that, the things that Job had just finished saying, none of them could say anything to him, meaning that they sort of agreed with him, he became even more angry. He says, his wrath was kindled. And Elihu, the son of Barakel, the Buzite, answered and said, I am young, and ye are very old. Wherefore I was afraid, and dare not show you mine opinion. Do you see? Now, that is another thing. When there's a certain spirit in you, it also teaches you how to relate with people. It makes you humble that when you are with elders, you don't even speak sometimes. There are certain people, when you give them a small opportunity to be among great people, they want everyone to know. And they start talking. Sometimes they just want to ask questions so that they will be recognized. And you realize that the questions that come, they are not very, very wise. Hallelujah. So it says, I am young and ye are very old. You see, I said the Bible does not put any word in the scriptures for nothing. It says, ye are very old. Now, for someone to say, I am young and ye are very old, it means they are very old compared to his age. Do you see? It means he's very young relative to them. So it says, I am young and ye are very old. Wherefore, I was afraid and dared not show you my opinion. I said, these should speak. That means the old ones should speak. We should give the opportunity for the old ones to speak. It says, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. We think that wisdom should come from those who have been around for a while. Those who have gone through certain things. They should have wisdom. You see, sometimes you have an issue with a grown-up. You know, and then some grown-ups sit to talk about the issue. But you see, sometimes they, because of the Spirit of God that is in you, that teaches you all things and makes you analyze and understand all things. You see, as they are talking, sometimes you sit there and say, ah. How many of you have encountered something like that before? It is the Spirit of God that is in you. But you see, you expect that wisdom should be in the old. So Elihu said, he says, I said, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. Verse 8 is my right. He says, but there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Say, there's a spirit in me. I said, there's a spirit in me. There's a spirit in me. He said, wisdom does not belong to the age. Wisdom does not belong to the men of days. But there is a spirit in man. There is a spirit that is in you. There's a spirit that differentiates you. There's a spirit that separates you from another woman. There's a spirit that makes you a different man from the other man. There's a spirit that makes you a great teacher from another teacher. There's a spirit in you that makes you a different student from the other students. He said, there's a spirit in man. He says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. The inspiration, when that spirit is in you, the inspiration of God is what makes you talk. That is why sometimes when you open your mouth to talk, they wonder where you get this wisdom from. It is that spirit that is in you that speaks. It is that spirit that is in you. He gave it. You know, the nature of the church is, if you actually be faithful and stay in the church for a while, no matter who you become wise. Oh, I say you will become wise. You will become a great counselor. When you talk, people will marvel. When you talk, people will stop and they will listen. When there's nothing else to say, you see that God will put something in your mouth to say. I remember one great man of God. He said that when he was young, about age of 15, they used to go for evangelism in their hometown area. They used to go for evangelism to some villages. And then, for some reason, he will find himself, there was this couple, older couple, that he wanted to witness to. But they developed such relationship that every time he goes, they have some marital issue. They have some marital issue, and that will come up. And then he will address that marital issue. And he said that he wondered how a 15-year-old who has never married before, no boyfriend, no girlfriend, has not even conceived anything like that before, he can say certain things into the lives of older couples. And he says sometimes when he talks and he talks and he talks, when he's done, the woman will look at him and say, "Would you wo? Wo? Would you wo? Who's Akwalawi? Would you wo?" The words that come, he rebukes the woman and he realizes that I am wrong, and say, "Would you wo? Who's Akwalawi? Would you wo?" It is the spirit in man. It's that spirit that is in you, and it's the wisdom. It does not belong to the age. He says, "It's the spirit in man." He said, there's a spirit. He says, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Great men are not always wise. Wow. I am reading the scriptures. They are not my word. He said, great men are not always wise. Neither do the aged understand judgment. Therefore, I said, hearken to me, I also will show my opinion. Behold, I waited for your words. I gave ear to your reasons, while ye searched out what to say. Yea, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. You know, sometimes, you see, that when the Spirit of God is in you, one thing that it makes you is it makes you analyze. It makes you sit quietly and just take in all and absorb. It makes you not open your mouth quickly. He says, I analyzed and I heard everything that you say. And I searched out. And he says that, he said, I gave ear to your reasons whilst ye search out what to say. I was thinking about all the things that you said. Yes, I attended unto you, and behold, there was none of you that convinced Job or that answered his words. Lest ye should say, we have found out wisdom. God trusted him down, not man. He said, that is what the conclusion is, that God is the one that trusted him down, not man. Now, he had not directed his words against me, neither will I answer him with your speeches. Do you see? He said that the things that Job said, they were not directed against me. And neither will I answer him with your speeches about the things that you all said. They were amazed. They answered no more. They left off speaking. They were shocked that this little boy that is following us all the time is speaking like this. And they left off speaking. They couldn't even say anything else. When I had waited, for they speak not, but stood still and answered no more, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion. For I am full of matter. The spirit within me constrained me. It is the spirit within me that made me not talk. I had a lot to say at the time that you were all talking. But there is a spirit in man. It controls when to talk. It tells you when to answer. It gives you what to say at the moment. When you go for an interview, there's a spirit in man. When that spirit comes alive, you realize they are asking so many questions. Then you are pondering and pondering. But at a point, you see they stop and an answer just comes. And for whatever the answer is, you sometimes, it makes no sense to you. And sometimes when they call you and they say you are the one they have chosen, you marvel. It baffles you. A lot of you, your jobs, when you look at the people who were interviewed, it baffles you that you were the one they chose. When you went and you saw the caliber of people who were there, amen, it baffles you. It baffles you. It says, when I had waited, for they speak not, but stood still and answered. And then he said, I will speak, but I... Well, I think we're verse 17. He said, I said, I will answer also my part. I will show you mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constrained me. Behold, my belly is as wine, which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. That is also the spirit of God. It make you not speak of any man's person. It does not favor. You see, when wrong is wrong, the spirit will tell you that it is wrong. Even though he's a good friend of Job, even though he's a very good friend, and his purpose was to come and counsel and support him and comfort him, conversation has changed and the truth has come up and the truth has to be said. He says, for I know not giving flattering titles. In so doing, my maker will soon make me away or take me away. That is when the Spirit of God is in you. I said, that is when the Spirit of God is in you. And so when you continue to read on, you go to verse 33, verse 8. He says, surely thou hast spoken in my hearing. I have heard the voice of thy words, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent. Neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counted me for his enemy. This was Job. This was what Job was saying. He says, I heard all these things. This is what you were saying. And he says, he putteth my feet in the stocks. He marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. He said, for saying such a thing, you are not just. He said, behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. The three friends could not talk like this. It is the Spirit of God that is in man that makes a person talk like this. He says, behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counted me for his enemy. He putted my feet in this and that and that. Then he says, verse 12, behold, in this kind of talking, you are not just. And I will answer you that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth no account of any of his matters. God does not need to explain anything to you. God will do whatever he wants, and he does not give account of any of his matters. You cannot talk like this to your friends if the Spirit of God is not in you. Your friend who has lost all his property and all his belongings and his family and everything, you can't talk like that to him. You will sympathize with him. But when the Spirit of God is in you, you take no account of any person. Hallelujah. Amen. And then verse 14, he says, listen, if you have the Spirit, this is what you hear. He says, for God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon man, in slumbering upon the bed, then he openeth the ears of man and sealeth their instructions, that he may withdraw from man's purpose and hide pride from man. He says, when you have that Spirit of God in you, you will hear, you will understand, you will know that God speaks to man. You know that God visits his people. Even in the dreams and in visions, he visits them. They're slumbering upon their beds. When they are snoring upon their beds, he visits them and he opens their ears and he seals their instructions. When you understand man. And he says that he does this, God does these things. He says, he keepeth back, he says, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. He may withdraw you from your purpose. Hallelujah. He says, that he may withdraw man from his purpose. Is somebody understanding what I'm sharing with you? He says, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. He keepeth back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. When the Spirit of God is in you, sometimes you take your key. You take your key and you are going. As you are going, you realize you forget your cell phone. And then you come. And then you start the car. And then you realize, oh, I left my charger. And then you go up. And then you are late. You are late. And you are driving yourself nuts. You go and then, oh, I forgot to pick this file that I need at work. And then you come back. And then as you are coming and you are driving on the highway, you see an accident that just happened. Sometimes he just withholds you from the purpose. He withholds you from your purpose. Hallelujah. He withholds you from your purpose. When the Spirit of God is in you, you do not get angry. You do not get angry when you miss your exit. You do not get angry when someone decides not to marry you. You do not get angry when they don't take you on that job. When the Spirit of God is in you, you do not get angry when something is being withheld from you. Because he says that he withdrew man. He said that is what he does. He withdraws man from his purpose and his pride and hide pride from man. There are certain things that God is withdrawing from you and withholding from you so that he will hide pride from you. He loves you and he never wants to oppose you. And so he will tell you something. He says, do not marry this man. Do not marry this man. Have you not realized that you didn't listen and you married a man and you have become very proud? Now we can't even talk to you. Have you not realized? But you see, there were a lot of resistance and a lot of opposition. But you see, you went through with it your own way. And you have become very proud. A lot of women, when they get married, they become very proud. True or not true? Oh. A lot of women, when they get married, they become very proud. And sometimes they look at marriage as if it's their own achievement. But as a woman, only a man can come and ask of your hand. You cannot marry a man. Amen. You cannot marry a man. So, I mean, when you marry and you become so proud as if you have achieved something, and you look at yourself and you realize that there are even more beautiful women around than you, that he could have chosen them, understand that is the grace of God. that came upon you. And sometimes you marry and you marry a very wicked man. Very wicked man. And then you ask yourself, how did I find a man like this? It's a grace of God. It's a grace of God. It's a grace of God. Hallelujah. It's a grace of God. I say there's a special spirit that is in you. He said there's a spirit that is in man. Hallelujah. There's a spirit of God that is in you. Amen. And that causes you to know all things, to face all challenges. Let's read one more scripture and bring our service to a close. 1 John chapter 4. When you get married, don't look down upon people who are not married. It's not an achievement that you achieved. It is the grace of God that came upon you. You have to ask yourself, and you see, that should humble you. It should make you very humble, because you see, there are a lot of beautiful women than you. And if we are going by beauty, you probably may not be the one we would have married. Amen. You probably would not have been the one that we would have chosen. Even some men, after they have married, they look at you and say, but what happened? What was going in my head? That that should give you that spirit of humility and say, hey. You see, sometimes when you are sitting there, try and practice these things. When you are sitting there, pinch yourself and say, hey, is that me that I'm married, pa? Or I'm going to wake up and it's no marriage. Pinch yourself and see. And wake up and say, hey, I'm married. And I'm still married. Hey. Because you can be faced with a marriage that is beyond your control. It's beyond your control. The man has promised to marry you and he didn't marry you. What can you do? What can you do? You see, and then some women feel embarrassed about that. I remember there was a young woman who planned her wedding, sent invitations, did everything. And then the man changed his mind last minute. And then she felt so embarrassed. What have you done? So if that is not your doing, if it's not your fault, then when you get married to, it's not your doing. Because the man changing his mind was not your doing. So him staying with his decision and marrying you also is not your doing. You can be a very good woman and marry a very wicked man. I have seen that with my own eyes. Amen. So if you are a married person, especially the woman, if you are married, be very humble. It's the grace of God that has come upon you. May the Lord give you that anointing to remain married. May the Lord give you that grace that makes you overcome all things. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Now, if you have overcome something, if you are an overcomer, it means that there are challenges. If the Bible is saying that you have overcome them, it means that you should also expect obstacles. Do you understand what I'm sharing with you? So, if you are a Christian, don't expect that there will be no obstacles in your life. That no challenges. It says that you have overcome them. You have overcome them. Means there are mountains that ought to be overcome. Amen. And then he says, why have you overcome them? Why have you overcome them? He says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Say, the greater one is in me. The greater one is in me. Say, I am overcomer. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. Because the greater one is in me. The unction of the Holy One is in me. The greater one is in me. I am an overcomer. I am an overcomer. I speak against diseases. I speak against illnesses. I speak against cancer. I am an overcomer. I rise up against diabetes. I rise up against high blood pressure. He said, I am an overcomer. High blood pressure cannot kill me. Bleeding in the brain will not kill me. I am an overcomer in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It says the greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. You have the unction of the Holy Spirit. The greater one is in you. The one that makes screwed nuts easier is in you. It's in you. I say it's in you. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You rise up against diseases. You are an overcomer. You rise up against poverty. You are an overcomer. The greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. I said the greater one is in you. And it has made you an overcomer. You rise up against poverty. Poverty shall not prevail in your house. Poverty shall not prevail in your house. Your children will not go hungry. Your household will not go hungry. You will not lack any good thing. Because the greater one is in you. No obstacle can rise up against you. No mountain can rise up against you. No valley is too deep for you. Because the greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. The greater one is in you. In the name of Jesus. Good health is your portion. Riches is your portion. Length of days is your portion. Because the greater one is in you. You will not die before your time. You will not die in accident. 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 Because the greater one is in you. Put your hands together for the Lord. And stand onto your feet. Stand onto your feet. Thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit that is given to man. Say there's a spirit in man. Lord, we thank you for giving us of your spirit. We thank you, Lord, for making us overcomers. We thank you, Lord, that we have the ability to rise up against principalities and powers. Lord, you say the one that is in us is a greater one. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for divine wisdom, for divine understanding. We thank you for divine knowledge. We thank you, Lord, for separating us from those who do not serve you and giving us of your spirit. Indeed, it is a great thing to serve the Lord. We thank you for the privilege to serve you. We thank you for the spirit that is in us. We thank you for the spirit that guides us, that leads us, that causes us to do certain things. We are grateful unto you, O Jesus. We thank you for giving us the comforter in Jesus' name. If there's anyone here this afternoon with all eyes closed, every head bowed, you are not born again. You want to give your life to Christ. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand wherever you are. And I'll pray with you. You say, I want to give my life to Christ. I want to come before Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. If that is your prayer, lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. You are here this afternoon. You want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Anyone here like that? Father, we thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you, Lord, for causing us, Lord, to be part of this wonderful kingdom. We thank you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you clap for Jesus as you take your seats? Wonderful. Well, if you are here with your tithe, lift up your hands and the ushers will give you an envelope. You are here with your tithe, lift up your hands and the ushers will give you an envelope. Let's do this quickly. And
we hope you have been blessed immensely by this message. Join us at 1734 Williamsbridge Road in the Bronx on Sunday afternoons and Tuesday evenings. For copies of this and other messages, contact us via email at lci.bronx@gmail.com.